Now, get out. You're banned from this historical society. You and your children and your children's children. For 3 months.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, it's Kevin Nealon, and you're listening to the Homie Broadcast. Yeah.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The soundtrack kindly produce a sound. Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. My name is Will Koontz. So happy to be back with you. Holy moly, are you okay? Is your Facebook feed madness right now? Mine is. I'm sure yours is too. Well, maybe not by now. Maybe it's cooled off a bit by now. There's a ban. All brown people and Muslims are banned from entering the U.S. for 3 months. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. I don't even want to talk about that stuff. It's consuming everybody's life. So let's move on from that. I had Mike Morris, comedian Mike Morris, was in doing Bailey's podcast. I was at work, working extra time, and I was like, hey, stick around, you know, and after Bailey's, record one of mine, and we can air it, you know, later. And we'd ended up not being able to do that just because of time. I got home late. He was still here finishing up Bailey's. So we chatted for a little bit, and my friend Shannon started a new comedy night at the Iberian Rooster down here in right downtown where the Moscato's used to be, I think it was. Now it's a Portuguese fusion restaurant called the Iberian Rooster. Anyway, they got a cool stage down there. They have like this basement. You go down the stairs, beautiful stage cut out, and I worry that people can't handle it. People are so on edge with what's going on in the world and U.S. politics, are so in gripped in depth with everything, and so touchy and sensitive. I went, they had the first one last week on a Tuesday. So I went down to, you know, support, check it out and everything. And like I said, beautiful place, but I could just tell by the type of folk that were there that somebody was going to get their feelings hurt. And when I say that, I think you can probably picture them in your head, right? This particular person that did get offended, a young lady, had pink dreadlocks. So I don't know how you do that. And they look great. I don't know if it was a wig, maybe, but it looked really good. It looked like she just had regular cotton candy pink hair that was dreadlocks. Anywho, so, and the joke was this dude Brogan, guy that does comedy around here, was talking about fat shaming his dog, and that pissed her off. She went, what? In the back, and I was like, oh no, here we go. And, I will say in her friend's defense too, they kind of were like, come on, take it easy. You're being ridiculous. And there was some calamity in the back and getting all loud. I'm sure she was a little intoxicated at the time, but made a big scene as she walked out, giving Brogan crap about fat shaming his dog. Not a person, an animal. She was upset that I guess the animal would have to go through the trials and tribulations of a man talking to it. Now, maybe the dog was a guy. Does that still count as fat shaming? I guess so, right? I guess fat shaming doesn't have a gender exclusivity, is that right? No, that's not right. Exclusivity, there we go. So I guess you can fat shame dudes, but I don't think chicks really care about that, right? They only care if dudes fat-shame chicks and other chicks, I think. Am I wrong? Maybe I'm wrong here. I don't know. Maybe it's a gender-wide, people-wide thing. I don't know. But I'm worried that people, especially in this town of St. Petersburg, where I reside, and would like to put on comedy shows here, I don't know if people can handle it. And I think when I say that, I think the majority can, 80%. But I worry about that 20%, which is 1 in 5, which is a big amount. I'm concerned. And thank God Shannon's a girl that's running the thing, because if it was a white guy, I think things would be a little worse. I don't know. I don't know. But, yeah, so go check. I know I talked it up great, but I think they're doing every second and fourth Tuesday down at the Iberian Rooster. The next one will be, I think, this coming Tuesday. So go check it out. You know, give it a shot. Support local comedy. There's not much going on in the comedy scene right now since Sly Bar shut down. I don't think Bula Cafe is doing anything anymore. Who else was doing stuff? I think Comatic Studio shut down. So there's a gap there. So Shannon came in at the right time to kind of revive which once was a metropolis of jokes flying around here in the downtown St. Petersburg area. So there's you know, plenty of open spots to go see comedy. A lot of new faces I've seen too in the past I don't know, a couple months. I'm seeing a bunch of new people out at these mics and stuff. So that's good. People who have complained in the past about seeing the same people doing the same jokes. There's a lot of new people doing the same jokes now, so there's probably a lot of people you haven't seen. So come out and give it another try. We're going to be doing a show, HMB Radio, and my program are going to be putting on a show at the Hollander Hotel on April Fool's Day. Very fitting. Rio Paris, John Jacobs, and Zach Townsend is going to be the host of that thing. They'll be at the Hollander Hotel right outside in the pool deck there. It's going to be in April. It should be really nice. We'll have more details about that coming soon. I know it will be free and open to the public. So check out HMB Radio on Facebook, just facebook.com/HMB Radio. And I'll put it in the events tab, keep up to date, and the website, HMBRadio.com. Make sure you check up on old episodes. You can do that at the Listen tab on HMBRadio.com. Subscribe to the podcast, too, while you're there, you know. iTunes, Stitcher. Just search HMB Radio Tampa Bay. It'll come right up. If you want to get in contact, 813-693-2124. You can leave a text or a voicemail at that number. You can email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. This week on the program, we have another Miami band rolled through not too long ago. A couple young men go by Innoculus stopped by. So they're going to be here shortly. What else do I want to tell you before I go? Adam Howell Show is a success. That's on the HMB Radio podcast feed, along with James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast. You can check those out. So make sure you subscribe, because there's stuff you won't hear here on Radio St. Pete. It's available only on HMBRadio.com. So check that out. Thank you to Sly Bar for sponsoring this show, as always, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. Slybar.com is their website, and Sly Bar St. Pete on Facebook. And also Truvy Salon and Spa. My girl Chrissy Parker, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. Call or make an appointment, 727-329-9751. What else? I guess that's it, right? Let's get into the show this week with Miami's very own music, men, machines, and more. Let's go with the alliteration. Innoculus here on the Homemade Broadcast this week. Okay. Innoculus! What's up, guys?
What's up, man?
I feel like I'm in this Miami trend. I got all these Miami bands rolling through lately, which I'm not complaining about. I think it's great.
Yeah.
But introduce yourselves. Tell me what you do in the band.
Okay. Ugh, almost kicked something.
Oh, boy. Oh, right. Boy. Starting off strong here. Breaking.
Okay. I'm Kyle. I play guitar and I sing.
I'm Nick. I play bass.
I'm B, and I'm playing drums with Innoculus.
How long have you guys been a band?
That's a long... Kyle, you,
yeah,
you all right,
I got this, I got this. All right, so basically, Innoculus has been a thing since, like, 2012, and I started it when I was, like, 13. But it just progressed, and it evolved so much. And this lineup has been a thing for the past couple of months. For about 2 months. Like, he's new.
How do you navigate that when you have all these new people moving in? So you've been here for a while.
Yeah.
And then, so it's been you two guys. But then when you... build in these new people. How does that change the dynamic of your music?
Well, like I'm pretty consistent with how I write my stuff, and like everything's super just like what I want to do. But like as soon as you add another element in there, like everything changes and like new stuff starts to happen, and like a really like involuntary new sound and like new atmosphere kind of starts to develop. But it's always just that same like dynamic of super high energy, like jammy hardcore.
So, Kyle, you're kind of like the ringleader. This is your brainchild, and you kind of switched up the lineup.
It kind of became that, like that, so.
I mean, you're a young guy, too. How old are you?
18.
Just 18. Yeah. Holy moly. Yeah. What's that like? I forget.
It's cool. It's the best, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember having a lot of fun. I still have fun, but not as much. Yeah, yeah. So you've been, how long, you started this when you were 13, so that's what, about 5 years? And then it's been in its current incarceration for how long?
Let's just say it all started when we released our only album, which was about a year ago on February 25th. So like it basically, like before then it was just this like jammy, like weird, super inconsistent thing. And then we got a new member, and then he knew everybody in the Miami scene. And then all of a sudden we just like broke ourselves into that scene and then blew up, honestly. And so ever since then, it's been about a year and a half, and it's only been like snowballing since.
Mm-hmm. So. What's the Miami scene like down there?
Very eclectic.
So eclectic. Different.
Super.
What's the leading musical genre down there?
Okay, there are...
I mean, there's a lot of hardcore, there's a lot of like crust punk, there's a lot of like... A lot of psych, a lot of like reggae.
Yeah, if you when you say leading, you mean like most
popular.
Okay,
I guess,
most popular. That would be pop, rap, and like pop, rap, and like urban Latin music, like
super shiny sounding rock, like Sun Ghosts.
Yeah. They were
like
a few weeks ago.
Amazing,
good
really?
Guys. I like
yeah,
those
they're
guys.
The best. We're friends with those guys. Yeah. I'm jamming with Arminia.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, it's cool. But yeah, they're like one of the biggest fans in Miami.
Shout out.
Shouts out to Sun Ghosts.
So does the community kind of stick together? So do you ever do shows where it's like a rap act and then you guys come on? Or
yeah,
is everybody kind
that's the normal. Like we've played rap shows and like we play any show that we play. But like since Miami is like just so far away from like anything in America, it's like an oasis and everybody sticks together. And like the scene is so cohesive.
Yeah, we're super isolated, which is great.
So isolated. Yeah. It's like the new Seattle.
Yeah, I would imagine it's probably pretty fun down there. But I would also imagine that it's tough because you are kind of stuck on this, your own little island almost down there. Well, peninsula on the end. Yeah. So if you want to get out of the state, I mean, you're traveling 14 hours just to get out of the state.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I would imagine everybody's kind of got to stick together. That's kind of cool that, because we don't really see that too. I guess here maybe you do in this area, but you don't really see, like, rap acts playing with bands, you know what I mean? Unless it's, like, Coachella or something like that.
Yeah, there needs to be more of that, especially in, like, a local setting, too. Mm-hmm. We're, like, all of us in Innoculus and, you know, a lot of people in Miami, too, really try and push for those eclectic bills and those shows and stuff, and... that's, like, the way to do it, man, for everybody to get exposure and to get out there.
It's but if you're in your own echo chamber with, I like rap music, right? So then I'm just stuck in this, just listen to rap. You might like those other bands, but you would have no idea they're around. So it kind of gives you an incentive to go, I want to see this guy, but I'll stay and hang out to see what else is happening. And then they'll be like, oh, I like this. This is good, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
A big variety in Miami, like, super big. Like, everybody does. You can find... anything there. It's not the most easiest to find because like I said, like pop music, mainstream music is honestly like what most people are listening to down there because it's Miami, you know. Miami has got to be a big place like New York, Cali, stuff like that now. But so it's become mainstream. But if you like the arts from people and not from like a machine or a robot, how they make it seem on TV, you can find so much different styles of music up there. Like, I mean, down there. That was so much, anything, like, you name it, it's there, you know, to the, like you said, the weirdest crust punk, psych, so many psych bands, reggae bands, Latin rock, weird experimental, electronic, just everything, metal, anything.
And noise is so huge down there. Like, performance are crazy. It's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, INC is coming up in the beginning of February and stuff.
Wait, what's that?
Yeah, what is noise conference?
That's coming up.
What do they do there? I mean, so it's literally just making
noise,
sounds.
Noise. It's international just, noise.
I gotta be honest. I'm an open-minded type of person, but I have a feeling that would annoy me.
Some of that stuff is really, really cool, and some of that stuff is just like, okay, whatever, like, I could do without. But some of it's just so interesting because what they do to create noise and the noise they're creating is things you never heard before.
Give me an example.
I've literally seen somebody, like, take guitar pickups, like, attach them to, like, a blender and put nails inside the blender and just, like, it's the craziest thing.
And it sounds good.
I mean,
it's not that it sounds good.
It's just a unique sound.
It's the visual.
Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes it does sound cool. Depending if, like, that person knows how to, like, because sometimes you get people who just know how to make awesome ambient sounds and noises. So that's really cool to hear sometimes, you know? And, like, it's just cool. Sometimes it gets very grungy and it's just people just breaking things and it's more of a performance. But sometimes you get people with, like, the craziest, like, laptop setup and, like, with, like, what's that called? That thing with antenna and, like, is it
a theremin?
Yeah. Like, theremins and, like, and then, like, once I saw, I think, a theremin, and then one person grabbed, like, an old flash camera and then just flashed it next to the theremin, and then, like, it produced this crazy, like, boom, like, sound every time it flashed. And, like, that, and then, like, it had just weird samples, reverb, like, it's just cool, but for the most part, it's just kind of noise that you will get.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Annoyed.
But, yeah, it would have bugged me. After hearing nails in a blender for an hour,
but,
I would
yeah,
be
but like
so many different
25%, yeah, 25% of that is really cool stuff. You just have to, just, like I said, you have to.
And there's a lot of people doing this in Miami.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Been around too much. For a really long time annoying. Now that it's been around since, like, the 80s and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Like the
No
the,
idea.
Yeah, the the guy, the pioneer of, like, you know, somebody who's, like, really been helping the noise scene progress in Miami and pretty much in general for
Rat Bastard.
Yeah, Rat Bastard. Oh. He's
pretty cool.
I don't know if you've ever heard of Rat or familiar with what he does, but he's, like, you know, one of the biggest names in Miami right now.
I've never seen him without sunglasses.
True.
Even in, like, the darkness of Churchill's.
Yeah, you can search him up. You can search him up online. I actually searched him up about, like, 2 days ago. Even though I always knew the guy. He's like the main stock sound guy in Churchill's pub, which is an awesome venue in Miami. And, he's been doing things in Miami for years now.
And he records a lot of the bands and really helps everybody out and really helps the scene out and stuff. He's a really cool guy.
So he's kind of like one of the leaders there of the Miami scene then?
Basically,
for sure.
He's a super big crucial figure.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
He's a big deal.
So tell me about Innoculous. What's your sound like? How did it come about?
Our sound is just a blend of, like, so many different influences between, like, me, Kyle, and now B, you know, like, we've all been playing for a pretty long time. We all have, like, we all kind of have different influences, but the same influences. Like, I really love power violence and sludge and just, like, doom and all these crazy things, like, post-hardcore. And Kyle has, like, this love for, like, alternative and grunge and even, like,
garage
rock and stuff. Yeah, and B has been playing forever. He just...
I love everything.
I love
everything.
His drumming style is very, like, ornate and just super, I don't even know, man. It's fucking, it's
he used to be in a prog reggae band, so he's just so versatile.
I could tell by his shirt.
He really doesn't look the part. But yeah,
he has a dashiki on right now, I believe that's what it's called.
I have this poncho over here. Love this stuff.
That suits you very well, yeah.
Couture, I love couture stuff.
A little matching. I found a dashiki one time in a thrift shop, and I was like, I'm going to give this a whirl, see if I can pull this off.
Nope. Was it a good what? World? No.
It did not work. Look good on me at all. It just looked bizarre.
You just have to wear it.
No. I'm telling you, I'm open-minded. I'll try things, and it did not look good. I gave it to my neighbor who was into, like, reggae, had dreads and stuff, and he put it on. I was like, terrific. That looks great. Yeah, that's for you. And he's like, I love it, man. I'm like, I knew you would. It's for you. So you can't really – I wish I would have – I didn't even know you guys were coming. We did the Danudes interview. And then he said you guys were stopping in. I didn't really get to check you guys out at all, so I'm kind of going in this blind.
Oh, true.
So when you describe your sound, I know it's kind of hard to put it in a box, but what would you kind of compare it to?
Maybe? No, I got this. It's basically like it's sludge punk with a lot of like shoegaze elements in there, and like it's really, really jammy too. Like, and it's all super high energy, really loud all the time.
Hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's music.
It's hard, but it's not like abrasive. It's just super high energy because we're so excited to like do it.
We try and do things quietly.
What?
Yeah.
That's a lie.
But yeah. Super jammy.
So you guys are playing, are you got like on doing a tour type of thing, or are you just...
Yeah, this is actually the last day. We're doing a mini tour with Danudes, and the past couple of days we played Orlando. Almost played last night, but rainstorm. Yeah, got rained out. Yeah. And it was in the backyard. It was super cool.
We were trying to save the show because there was this tarp, like, at this backyard we were playing at, and I would have to take a broom, like, every 30 seconds.
That was great.
Like,
yeah.
As high as I can go and just push all the rain off and just, like, it was crazy.
Is this somebody's house?
Yeah. My uncle's house where we're staying.
Oh, right on.
So, yeah, he's like, the chaperone.
We tried super hard to save the show. It just didn't. The rain beat us.
It's amazing how in Florida that we deal with rain all the time. Oh, but I know if it's raining, I'm not leaving. Forget it. Even if it's wet outside, I'm just like, yeah, forget about it.
It was just the typical Florida weather, too. It started off, like, sprinkling. Didn't really think too much of it. We had the bonfire going. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just...
Right before when we were supposed to play. It just started, like we were supposed
to
play.
But what can you do? What can you do?
But everyone stayed.
How many people were at the show?
Like 30 people all in all came, and then like...
30 to 50.
Like, and then like, in and out. Even while the rainstorm was at its hardest, there were like 20 were still people still there.
Just hanging out.
Yeah, then like afterwards we like made s'mores and watched.
Yeah, the show yesterday was at Coffin's Print Shop. Shout out to that. They're awesome.
In Tampa?
No, that's in Orlando. Yeah, Coffin's Print Shop. We do shirts, stuff like that. Shout out. And the owners of the house is a band named...
Sacred Owls.
Sacred Owls, which is Kyle's uncle. Yeah. And then they're the ones hooking us up with the rides, and we're staying in their house and stuff. So Sacred Owls, check that out too. They're awesome, like political horror punk band, Sacred Owls.
So I'm not really a music guy. I don't really know what's going on. I know there's like a bunch of bands here, but I feel weird going to a concert. I know you can kind of hang out, but I'm in like the comedy field. I do stand up and run stand up shows. So I feel like if you're going to go, you should like watch. And I feel you don't have to do that. That's the difference. You can hang out, drink, you know, and have music going. But it's comedy, you can't really do it. You're kind of a dick if you're talking, you know, during somebody's performance and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So have you guys been playing music the whole time, ventured into any other fields of, you know, art?
Yeah, paint here and there, photography and stuff like that, even, like, acting, too, and stuff. Like, but, I don't know, it fluctuates with me. Like, I'm speaking for myself here. Like, I go up and down. Sometimes I'll be, like, really into the music thing, and then other times I'll just want to paint. I just go through like phases within the art realm, you know. So
are you guys all young?
I'm 21.
21?
I'm 24.
24. Okay, so you're the old man of the group. So you're kind of like the dad, I would imagine, trying to keep everybody organized.
No, the dad. Just more of like the like, hey, we should do this, and then everyone's like, that's a good idea. Let's do it. And I'm like, yeah, think about it. Like, yeah. And that's all. We all listen to each other, which is kind of cool.
B, how did you get involved with these guys?
That's a great question. All right, so okay. I've known Nick since high school. We were in remedial math together. Remedial math. My senior year, his junior year. So I've known him since then. We hit it off awesome. We ate shit in that class every day.
It's all right.
And yeah, it was great. So we were always into music, and then after high school, we still were into music in like different scenes. But like the scenes were, like we said, it always merged together. So we always played shows with his band, my band,
yeah.
And I helped him out. I always help him out. I remember the first time I went to Churchill's, I took him, and like we were always good buddies. And then I heard that he was playing in this band in Inoculus, and that's been going on for a few years. And then I always wanted to check it out. I always wanted to go to shows. Oh, let me know when's the show, blah, blah. Finally, one random day, this awesome, like, crossover show, which my group and their group and, like, the psych scene and the jam band scene with the punk scene mixed together. I saw them with their old drummer, and I was like, you guys are freaking amazing. I loved it. I loved it. They played, like, three songs and just, like, completely tore up the stage, breaking everything. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And then from there, I was like, yo, I want to jam with you guys. Like, I just wanted to jam. I didn't want to play with them because I knew they had a drummer. And they were like, they were telling me, you guys came at a good time. Like, they were like, you came at a good time because we might actually need you. So then I started jamming with them. And then, you know, and then something happened with their drummer. And then they just told me that they had some dates in Miami and they had a tour planned up. And that's it. And I'm just, like, playing with them. And that's all. And that's mainly what I do. I'm just freelancing, playing with different bands. And then to answer your other question, if we dabble in different things, I dabble in music and mainly drums, piano, guitar, singing, stuff like that. And then I love doing live sound. Live sound is awesome. And then that's mainly what I do, and that's how I'm kind of making my living right now, just live sound, drumming, freelancing, studio work, stuff like that. So, yeah, so I'm just playing with them, and it's awesome. It's been a big pleasure.
Yeah, and actually, It's cool because I played my first show ever when I was 14, and it was with these guys, and they were all in different bands, so just everything came full circle.
Yeah, cool. We kind of have always known and seen our bands in the past and, you know, supported each other in the past, and it's pretty cool that we all just happen to, like, come together and start making music. And it just feels really natural at this point. Like, musically, like, we get along great. We have a really good chemistry. Always, like, high energy, you know, always going, like, full throttle. So it's been really fun. I'm happy where we're at right now as a band. So.
Right on. Inoculus is on the Homemade broadcast this week. Where did the name Inoculus come from? How did you come up with that?
Ooh, all right. So I was 12. And I was 12. And
I was 9.
Yeah. And
when I was littler.
I was on Google Translate, and I was typing in random things, and I was translating them into Latin, and then I just decided to type in the eye in English, and then I translated it into Latin, and then Inoculus happened, and like it didn't really click. Like, oh my god, that's gonna be the band name, that's so cool. It just like Inoculus, and then I kind of like made that my band, and now it's this.
It's kind of stuck.
Yeah,
in the eye, I love it.
And it's different. It's cool. It represents,
because
like in the eye, and like whenever we play, and just like the whole band life, it feels like we're in the eye of a hurricane.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, cool. It kind of fits with
the theme. Everything works out like that. Everything.
Yeah,
in my life. So yeah, it's.
I always get bummed out when I ask bands that question. I go, "We put our names in the name generator, and that's how it came out."
God, like,
oh, boy. So what are the challenges of you're all young guys? How do you organize being in a band? So you got to be here at a certain time. We got to practice. Like, how do you do that?
I love it all, but. The main issue is that we need a van. Like, we need transportation, and that's, like, that's the only issue. I love everything about it. There's no challenges for me because it's what I'm doing, like, 100% all the time.
Like I said, good vibes, honestly. Yeah. No matter what. Someone's late, whatever, just don't bitch.
We love each other.
You just got to, like, make the time, you know. If, like, there's a will, there's a way. Like, you can't look at it as, like, in my opinion, you can't look at it as like a chore, like you have to do this or you have to, like, you just got to want to do it. And then everything just becomes so much easier. There is no hassle trying to set up like times and dates and trying to get everybody free and stuff, you know. Like, of course, there's jobs and stuff like that and, you know, like schedulings for jobs and or school. But everything just works out if you're just on top of it with each other all the time. But other than that, it's like, pretty smooth for us as a band, you know. I know other bands have like issues with that, but you know,
it's honestly like a relationship. Like it's a relationship. That's what it is. It's just instead of a guy and a girl, a guy and a guy, a girl, girl. It's you know, it's a group of people. It's three guys. It's four guys. It's whatever. It's a relationship. You need communication, and you just need to always spread love and just good vibes and just talk and just communicate. And you will work it out, you know, and that's all it is. Like, the goal is to continue, you know. And
yeah. So do you have, like, designated times where you guys get together? How often would you, like, get together to practice?
Let's every say. Saturday.
Every Saturday, as soon as possible, yeah. Until as late as possible.
Yeah.
Is that where you do your recordings and stuff, too, or...?
No, we do our recordings with our label Houndstooth Cottage, and they have this
shout out
to Houndstooth Cottage, our label, and it's a house, it's a location too, and yeah, we're going into the studio in a month or so to record a follow up to our last EP, Silence Is Deafening.
Great, I did not know that.
At Houndstooth Cottage, yeah, we're setting up the dates. Now you know. Now you know.
I don't know anything. I just play drums, like I said.
He's just the drummer.
What's the process of when you're trying to write a song? Like, does somebody say, hey, I got this riff or something, and then I'll play it, and then you kind of lay some drums behind it? Is that kind of how
ding,
it goes?
Ding, ding, ding,
the
ding.
Songs happen. The songs just happen.
Well, like sometimes, like, it comes in various ways. Like, sometimes we'll have a riff, and then, you know, I'll play it to Cal, or I'll play it to B, or sometimes we'll just be practicing, you know, in our space, and then we'll just come up with something right there. And then we'll all just kind of look at each other and be like, okay, well, we need to make this happen now. This is definitely material that's going to be used.
So. Yeah, like the practice space is a hotbed for coming up with the riffs. Like every single time I go there, you just start playing and then you come up with something new. And then like if it snatches, it snatches and they catch on to it and then it just kind of like happens. Like we never sit down and just go like, all right, we really like this band, we're getting into this stuff. Like, we're going to write a song that sounds like this. What should this be about? It just happens. Like... we just, like, when we're writing a song, we start playing the riff, and then something happens. Then I'm just like, whoa, I have an idea. We should do this. And then we do that. And then Nick's just like, dude, I have an idea, too. We should do that. And then it just happens.
So you're super pumped and bouncing ideas back and forth, like, in seconds.
Kyle, you're the singer, too, right?
Yeah.
So do the lyrics happen first, or does the music happen first, or is it...
Lyrics are normally secondary. Like, it's a weird process. Like, I'll have a riff, and then, like, I'll have syllables start coming to me, and it's, like, the rhythm of those syllables and, like, the melody, and then, like, I'll hum it into, like, my phone's sound recorder, and then I'll be, like, what does this sound like? And then I'll piece together the lyrics and, like, have them try to be as cool as possible, and normally they kind of fit a certain theme.
I would imagine it would be difficult to fit words into music, right? Because, I mean, they have their own tempo and speed, too. And sometimes it would sound funky. You have to switch out words. Maybe you didn't want to.
Yeah. Well, most of the time, it comes to you. It just happens. Like, it pops in your head. It happens to me all the time, every single day. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you just have to always be on record and, like, write it down.
Mm-hmm. Did you all have to take lessons to do music, or is that something that just happened?
We're all self-taught. I think... Yeah.
Well, I took lessons for a little bit, but not for any stringed instruments for drums.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But other than that, we're all pretty much self-taught in the instruments that we play in the band.
That's funny. We all took lessons for drums. Yeah, I started taking lessons for drums like 2 years ago, and I've been playing for about 9 years now. So I've been studying. I've been studying like jazz music and stuff in Miami-Dade College. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing that heavy and studying that and with the professors there and stuff like that. So, but like before that, it was all self-taught.
He just learned a couple of songs on the piano by the coffee shop next door.
Oh yeah, the coffee
learned
shop.
Learned Beat It, right?
I learned Beat It and La Bamba. Because it has this book of like 500 greatest songs and it's just like sheet music of a whole bunch of like popular like American songs like Hotel California, La Bamba, Beat It by Michael Jackson, a whole bunch of stuff, some like Don Henley, like a whole bunch of like very Sunshine of Your Love, like that typical stuff. So those songs already know the melody, so I was just like reading the chord charts and like stuff like that and just playing it, doodling.
Yeah, I have a theory about music, and I think it goes for just more than music. You're gifted with things when you're born, and you have to find those things. Like, I wanted to play guitar really bad, so I got a guitar, and I took some lessons, and peaked, had that Mesa, where I just did not get any better. And I think you can, like, force yourself to kind of get good at these things, but usually they're just... handed to you by God or whatever you want to call it when it's down at the end of the day. Because I had a buddy who's I think you have to be math-minded, too. Although you said you're in remedial math, right? Yeah. So maybe this blows my theory totally. But
you just got to keep doing it, man.
My buddy was an engineer, and he's really good at guitar. And he would try to teach me. He would sit with me for hours. No, dude, you do this. And he would move his fingers all in these weird ways. And it was infuriating to watch him because he made it look so easy. And it's probably the coolest thing, I would say, you could do. So you guys are blessed because you got to do the coolest thing in the world, just play music on a stage.
Thanks, man.
Everybody goes through that, you know? Like, everyone goes through that stage of, like, I am not getting it. I am not getting it. It is not happening. Like, this is, like, day 30, and I'm still not getting it. And then day 31 happens, and you get it.
So you think you can learn it. Your theory is that you can learn this stuff.
Yeah, you can learn anything. Music or any type of thing it could be for anybody, but I don't think it's for anybody.
You have to have the passion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, if you have the passion for it and you really want to do it, it will happen. But, you know, and I'm pretty sure because of life, like people that like would have became amazing musicians or poets or just some type of artist haven't because of the pressures of life and stuff like that, and like, you know, didn't continue because they weren't raised to be strong and fight through that rocky road that everybody hits. There's no musician that, you know, that thinks like, oh, this is so easy. No, they hate themselves. Straight up.
I think all creative people hate themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Something to prove.
Yeah, I've hung out with a lot of comedians, too. Same thing. Comedians,
oh, they are the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And they're always recording themselves and always listening back. It's like, wow, okay, I sound like a douche.
Yeah. Well, it's weird how that works because You feel
it's
awkward. Comedians are really right. It is ego, but at the same time, most of them hate. I know one guy who's a comic that's just like, oh, everything's great. I love my wife and I hang out and I do comedy. It's great. My life's awesome.
And he's not funny at all, right?
No, he's really funny. Oh. But that's the only one. He's the exception to this rule. Right. And I wonder if he's a liar. And he really goes. He's just trying to give off this vibe because he's like, no, I get every comic I talk to says, when I'm depressed, that's when I write better. Is it the same thing with music, or
basically?
Yeah,
kind of. It all depends on the emotional headspace. Like, it's when you're an artist, it's
quote unquote.
A lot of it is like extracting things from yourself, and just having things come through you, and it's all you, and it's all you just expressing this. So it's easy for people to get their egos mixed up in that and start like confusing like identities and just go like, this is coming from me, this sucks.
Yeah.
I hate this, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Like my aesthetics suck.
It is it is trying to prove yourself.
But it's
don't want to at the same time. Like, what am I doing this for? It's this weird balance. Mm-hmm. It's bizarre.
And ego puts the knife in it, man. It kills creativity.
Well, you have to have
don't
the ego in order to perform your stuff, right? You got to think that you're the best. No, you don't think so?
Ego?
Not at all.
Ego doesn't do – ego and pride doesn't do good for anyone. And, like, it doesn't do any good, in my opinion. No, you just need to be confident. That's all it is, and I don't think confidence has anything to do with pride or ego. You need to be confident, and you just need to, like, what's that word? Were you guys there when Chris was saying that word of, like, you got to just do it? It was a certain word. Oh, forget about it. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just got to do it. You just got to say boss to the wall and just do it and then learn from it. And that's it. Like, in reality, we never know what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing. We're constantly always like, what's happening? But that can't stop us from doing something. So I don't think you need to have the ego. You just need to have the confidence to do something and not care of the result, because you will still be alive after that. And at the end of the day, you're going to die.
Okay, that makes sense. But I think that is ego to a certain extent.
I guess if you want to call that ego, then I guess you can call that ego. I wouldn't call it ego. I'll call it confidence.
In order to put yourself out there like that, it's your biggest hurdle in life is probably yourself and getting over yourself in order to do this, because you open yourself up to that criticism, which could potentially come. And that's where that could – you got to get – I mean, that's terrifying when you hear somebody trash you. I mean, that's the worst thing. Have you ever had that where somebody was like, you guys suck?
Not really.
No, that's good. I get trashed all the time.
Yeah, I love it. I love criticism because I love giving it.
If it's constructive criticism, that's fine. But I'm talking about people being mean on the internet is more what I was talking about.
I love that too.
It builds character, I guess. It makes you just not care.
Definitely.
You either not care or you'll stop.
Quote unquote haters. That means you're doing something, right?
Haters.
Well, only time you should be worried is when people aren't talking about you.
Yeah.
No doubt.
True.
So what are your influences as a band? Who do you kind of look up to?
Nick, one of Nick and I's favorite bands is Smashing Pumpkins. And that's
They're
that's
awesome.
That's one of my biggest influences on guitar. And, we both love Electric Wizard and Sleep. So, mm-hmm. We love, stoner and doom metal. And, I love garage rock so much. Fiddler, Tight Slick, all the OCs, Waves, all that stuff. I love pop. I love pop, too. And Nick loves, abrasive punk music as much as I love pop. So it's, the best dichotomy
also,
ever.
Also, a lot of post-hardcore, Drive Like Jay.
Fugazi too.
Especially, yeah. Right to Spring. What else? There's so many. Especially, a lot of local bands in Miami. Holly Hunt and Snake Hole, and there's so many bands, honestly.
Has it been hard being younger and getting, shows and stuff like that?
No, not at all. Not at all.
It's the greatest.
Yeah, it's a lot better, in my opinion. Everybody wants to see each other, succeed and, have a good crowd, and everybody's just trying to support each other and stuff, so.
Because I'm so young, there have been times where, I can't go into my own show. Right. Even if I'm throwing
it
there.
That's the greatest.
Yeah. I was 17, and I threw this show at this place called Gramps, who's, super, super violent about their security. They have the best bouncers ever. They have, photographic memories. It's insane.
Yeah.
But, so I was throwing a show there. It's 21+, and the bouncer wouldn't even let me in. He's just who are you? What are you doing here? I'm like, hey, my name is Kyle. I'm throwing a show here. And he's just like, how old are you? 17. You look like a fetus. You're not throwing a show here. Kids don't throw shows here, but I was throwing a show there.
So they let you in eventually?
Yeah. Yeah, man. They let me in. But so it's just funny. I don't get annoyed by that. It's great.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Got to ride the ride, no doubt.
Yeah, man.
So what's the future? What do you guys have planned for the future of the band?
That is a mystery.
It's
all set in stone, but we can't exactly announce it yet. But it's right now is pretty hot, and you have to strike it while it's hot. So just go as hard as possible while it's going, and play as many shows as possible, record as much as possible, and
focus on writing new music too.
Always writing new music all the time.
What's the theme of 2017? Is this going to be a writing year, a touring year?
All of it.
Going to do everything.
It's going to be
probably writing in the beginning and then touring towards the end.
Right
on.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is my first tour ever. It's surreal.
Yeah.
It's the best.
How do you guys do a van type of thing where you all just piled in?
Yeah.
Basically.
That must get really old really quick.
It's awesome.
Well, you guys are young. Yeah. That's no problem. I like to have a shower every day now and sleep in a bed.
It's
important to me.
That's great. Last night, there's a bed in the van, and there was no space in the house to sleep because it was so dirty, and Nick went into the van to sleep, and it was raining so hard.
There's a leak in the van,
and
the whole floor started getting, basically flooded at first.
Oh, boy.
But, the van has, this, its own, draining mechanism, but when I first woke up in the middle, this morning, it was raining so hard, and I woke up, and I was like, I heard these, water droplets, and I was like, don't tell me that the floor is, and then I looked down, and I was like, you gotta be
soaking wet.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, well, I gotta clean some of this stuff up, so I just got a whole bunch of water bottles and started, putting them on the floor and arranging them so they catch all. It was good times.
Trials and tribulations.
The merch box is almost destroyed, but you saved it.
Good, there you go. Yeah, right on. Well, Inoculus, thank you guys for coming in. Do you have social media and where people can find you?
Yeah,
Instagram, Facebook, Bandcamp.
What's the name of it?
SoundCloud.
All of it. On Instagram, you can find us at Inoculus MIA. That's INOCULUSMIA.
Got to separate the in and the
off. Yeah, yeah. There's space people.
Space.
There aren't two C's either. And on Bandcamp, it's the same thing, InoculusMIA.bandcamp.com. And Facebook is the same thing, too. All the same thing.
Cool, guys.
So,
appreciate you coming in. Good luck tonight.
Dude,
we'll see you again soon.
Playing
Thanks
the
for having us, man.
Thanks so much,
really
man.
Appreciate it.
Love you.
There you go. Inoculus, Miami Zone. Thank you very much for tuning in to the Homemade broadcast this week. I certainly appreciate it. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned for Frank Rivera's Jazz Show live from Dunedin. If you're listening on podcast, well, hey, thanks. Go on with your life, and I'll talk to you next week. Will Koontz. Homemade broadcast, Radio St. Pete. We're going to leave you with Witch's Brew by Inoculus.